No, they answered, we'll spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate it. So Lot saying, guys, understand me, town square is not the place to stay here. This isn't where you want to hang out. This is not where you want to be after dark, all right? This is not the place to be. And so he offers hospitality. Now that's the right thing to do, isn't it? He's doing the right thing that he had been taught that he should do. She'd offer hospitality. But I think it's interesting, and we learned about this some in our Bible study this morning in Sunday school. I think it's interesting how people hold to an outward form of religion. He's doing the right thing here, but the living power of God is not influencing their heart at all. They're going through the motion, hospitality, but has nothing to do with God in their life and what God's doing. In Romans, we looked at how they looked on the outside, but not on the inside. Well, he goes on, verse 4, but they'd gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, before they'd gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. Now, all of a sudden, you got to realize what's going on here. This is shamelessness, if you will. You see, it's not that they're going to sneak them off someplace. This is a big public thing they're going to be doing. This is out in the middle of everywhere. You know, and it's not only public, it's universal. Did you say that? It said the old and young? People from, you know, all ages, and they clamor around this door and you say, no, bring these guys out. And there is there's nobody that's over here saying, no, don't do that. You know, that's wrong. Nobody's doing that. There's no dissension here. They're all gathered there. Lot went outside to meet them, and he shut the door behind him, and he said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Why does Lot call them there? Friends, did you see that? Not, hey, you pagan lost rascals, you know? He says, friends, friends. And now it gets really hard to believe. Verse 8. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. Can you believe that? He says, hey, 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 here, I've got these two virgin daughters. Boom. Kick them out the door, and whatever you want to do, you can do. Now, there may be some reasons why he's thinking. Maybe he's thinking, you know, they're engaged to be married to a couple guys, and they're probably out there, so maybe they're defend them. Or maybe he's just saying, it's the way it is. I wish I could say our society wasn't anything like that. But when you see the child porn that's going on, you see the human trafficking that's happening, I'm not so sure we're very far from that, if at all. Verse 9. Get out of our way, they replied. This fellow came here as a foreigner, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them. They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. We don't want your daughters, we want the men. That's what they're screaming. That's what we want. We don't want that. We want the men. Verse 10. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. And then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness so they could not find the door. God blinds them here so they can't find the door. Filling out that little form there on your bulletin. You got that with you? Go ahead and fill out the number one. A spiritual thinking seldom flows from a worldly mind. This doesn't flow from a worldly mind. Now, this didn't happen a lot all at once. You know what I'm saying? Some people say, well, my son's been great. He's never had a bit of problem, and now he's 14, and all of a sudden, this goes off. You know, it's not usually one. It's a kind of a progression. That's what's going on with Lot. He just continues to make worldly choices. From this one, down to this land, to here, to move closer, to be in Sodom, to be part of, to be friends, to hang out. That's what's going on. And you know what happened? He built no foundation for God-honoring decision. He didn't have any foundation to make those decisions, so he's obviously going to make worldly decisions. That's the way it works. When we lived in Orlando, when I was a kid or high schooler, we had orange trees in the backyard. So if you wanted orange juice, went out, cut the oranges, and squeezed and had an orange juice. Now, no matter how hard you try, you cannot get orange juice from a banana. Now, I got to teach that to Camden, my little grandson, yet, but you can't. It just won't work. Now, you can try and you can do what you want, but it's not going to happen. You can want to make God-honoring choices, but if your mind is saturated with the world, you won't. Now, Camden can peel that banana and do everything he can to make orange juice. It's not going to happen. Very seldom does spiritual choices flow from a worldly mind. And it doesn't in this case. You've got to have your mind fixed upon Christ, not upon the world. And last week we made a point of that. That you have a choice. Every single day, everybody in this auditorium has a choice whether you're going to build an altar to God or you're not. Every day. Am I going to spend some time with the Lord or not? That is your choice. And am I going to spend time in reading the scripture and listening and praying every day? And those are the basics. I know that's the fundamentals. But here's the deal. It's not glitzy. It's not real charismatic. It's not fancy. It's just spending time with God, reading the Bible, and praying every day and listening. But it's from the basics that you make right choices. It's not, oh, but I need some more mystery. I need something deeper. Just stay with the basics and watch what God will do in your life. He'll build your life. But you have that choice. So are you going to choose daily to build an altar? Because when you have that input, then your choices have a lot greater opportunity to make choices that will be pleasing to God, because you have to be spiritually minded. You see how that works? Not fancy. It's the basics. The basics. But keep doing it. Build that altar every day. Because without it, it's going to be tough. So it brings me to point number two. Fill this one in. Breaking free from worldliness requires a crossroad decision. It requires a crossroad decision. And how that works is this. The slide into sin is usually pretty subtle and slow. You remember the old illustration, the frog in the kettle? Remember, you got a kettle here of water, and you put it on the stove, and it's cool water, and you put the frog in the kettle, and the frog just swims around. Now, you get this kettle over here, it's been on there, and it's boiling. You take the frog and you drop him in boiling water, he jumps right out. But this frog over here, you put in the kettle when it was cool. Now you turn the heat up, and the heat comes up slowly and slowly and slowly until you boiled that frog. He never did jump out. He just got used to it getting hotter and hotter until it killed him. That's how sin works. It's that slow, subtle, starts here, no big deal, and it just kind of starts to worm its way into your life until finally you look back and you don't even recognize how you got to where you're at. How did I get here? But if you intend to break from that sin, you got to have something, you got to have a decision, and it needs to be a radical, it needs to be swift, you need to make the decision. It's like the alcoholic. And so the guy here, he has a real trouble with drinking. And he knows he's an alcoholic. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take one less drink a day. And then in a month, I'll take maybe two less drinks. And you know what happened? He stays an alcoholic. But this guy recognizes he's an alcoholic, and he says, you know what? I can see that this is a problem, and I need some help. And he checks into a program, and he doesn't have any more to drink. And he comes out, and he never drinks again. But the other guy, I'm just going to go one less. It won't happen, usually. You say, well, that's not a big deal. I don't have that kind of a problem. Good. That's a good thing. But James chapter 4, verse 17 says, whoever knows what is right but doesn't do it is sinning. But is there something in your life that you know isn't really quite right, but you kind of keep dabbling in it? You see, that's what he's saying there. You don't slowly and steadily and subtly break free from something that grabbed you that way. That's not how you're going to break free. You got to come to a crossroads and you got to say, you know what? That's enough. That's enough. I got to get away from it. And then you got to walk away. You got to stop doing it. You got to say a radical decision. I'm not going to be involved in that any longer. So what in your life might you need to break free from? Well, for some, it might be an unhealthy relationship. It's just not honoring God. And you know it's not. You know when you're with those people or hanging out? It's just not a God-honoring thing. I've told you many times about my good friend in Ohio when I was a kid up there in middle school. And his name was Jack, and Jack was a good guy, but I was a frog in a kettle, folks. And I could have easily gone. You know, could have easily gone. I needed to get out of that relationship. Maybe it's television. And what I mean by that is it controls all of your time, so you neglect relationships that you ought not be neglecting because it steals your time. Or maybe it's the job that's damaging your relationships. Or it's stuff, bigger, faster, better, more. Or maybe it's gossip. Or maybe it's a temper. But I want you just for a moment this morning, just give a flash prayer. God, what is it that's got a grip on my life that shouldn't have? And don't be fooled to think that you can just slowly and subtly walk away. Because in most cases, it's going to take a strong, swift, radical decision. I'm not going to do that. I got to break that off. I got to stop that. Because you see, spiritual mindedness seldom flows from a worldly mind. It's not going to. And breaking free of worldliness requires a crossroad decision. I'm going to come. I get it. I see it. I've got to make that decision. Now back to our story, verse 12. Well, the two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we're going to destroy this place. And the outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. Get out of town. Judgment's coming. That's what he's saying to them. Get out. Take anybody, your fam with you, okay? Because it's coming. Verse 14. So Lot went out and he spoke to his sons-in-law who were pledged to his daughters. And he said, hurry and get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy this city. But his sons-in-law thought he was what? Joking. Wow. They never saw any true spirituality in Lot. And they think he's joking. That's a good one, Lot. Oh, buddy. God judging this place. Come on. And they thought he was joking. Wow. What about a ruined testimony? How could he tell them about Jehovah God? No, you're just joking. Verse 15. With the coming of dawn, the angel urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. And when he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. Now, get this. Two angels come and they tell you, get out of town. I'm going to destroy this place. And Lot hesitates. You know, he hesitated. Two angels. He hesitated. Well, I'm not too sure of this. So what do? They grab him by the hand, drag him out of there. Let's go. Well, you know, let's go. So that's what they do. I'm sorry about this, Mike, guys. It goes on. And as soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." But Lot, But Lot says to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life, but I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. I'd like to go, but you know, it's pretty difficult. And, you know, that's a long way, and I don't think so." Verse 20. "Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." And he said to them, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of." All right. Brings us to number 3. All right, filling in your form there. Dealing with worldliness and the sin, the longer their duration, the stronger their grip. All right, the longer the duration, the stronger the grip. I was thinking about doing this as an illustration today, but then I thought better of it. But I was going to get a wash tub up here, and I was going to fill it in with some cement. And then I was going to stick my foot in it just to see what you guys would think. And when I pulled it out, you'd hear that suction, you know. But I could get it out, I think. I was afraid I couldn't. That's why I didn't do it. And that's not the only reason. But I put it in. Pull it out, you know, needy. But what if I put it in there and I don't pull it out for a while? The longer I keep my foot in the wash tub of cement, the harder it is to get out. Now think about this for a minute. Sin sucks you in little by little, and its grip gets stronger and stronger each minute you keep your foot in. That's what happens. So Lot becomes very comfortable in his sin. First, he probably moved close to Sodom, and now he's involved in Sodom, and now he's at the front gate, and now he's with friends. And now angels are saying how bad it is. He's already asked his daughters to go out there. I mean, how bad is this? And now the angels are going to destroy it, and he's still thinking, I don't know. So they have to grab him by his hands and actually pull him out of there. That's how much sin had sucked him in. And that's what it'll do to you and me, too, if you keep hanging around it. Verse 26. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. I don't want to go, Lot. I like it back there. I like those things. But I'm afraid we can kind of relate to that. Those patterns of gossiping and complaining, we kind of like. Or those unhealthy relationships, and we know right now the Holy Spirit might be saying, that's probably not a good relationship, but you know what, I kind of like it. And the longer you stay in it, the harder it is to get out of it. Or, you know, Lord, I'm just surfing through the web, And you know those websites? I guess I really shouldn't be going to those websites. But it becomes harder to break free. That's how sin is. It just sucks you in. So I want you to ask yourself something this morning. I want you to look at Lot, and I want you to ask yourself, is that the path I want to be on? Is that the path I want to be on? And you know what? I know it's hard to break free from sin sometimes. But guess what? God knows that too, doesn't he? Yeah, he knows that. But let me tell you, the longer you stay in it, the harder it is to get out of it. The longer it is. I talk to guys in the park, you know, weekly. Some of the guys, the longer they're involved in the drugs, the harder it is to get off of them. They got to have a decision to break. It's hard. Maybe today. Maybe God has some of us by the hand and he's saying, hey guys, come on with me. Just get out of that. Just come on with me. And he's got you by the hand. He's saying, come on. Or maybe there's a friend who has us by the hand and they're trying to pull us free. But with the other hand, we're kind of reaching back and the Lord would say, just let go. And let that friend encourage you and bring you along. Maybe the Holy Spirit's using his word and he's tugging at you and he's saying, guys, cut it loose. Cut it loose. Because you see, anytime we hold on to something that grips us, that's not God, it's sin. Well, the result with Lot. He goes to the city of Zoar, and he leaves the city of Zoar, goes up into the mountains, stays in a cave, his daughters get him drunk, he sleeps with the older one, he sleeps with the younger one, and verse 36 says, so both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father, and that's the last you hear of Lot. That's it. If Lot had only known the end of the story, do you think he might have chosen differently? If he had known he was going to end up in a drunken stupor up here, impregnating his daughters, do you think maybe he had made a better decision back here? Because you see, crossroads and decisions that we make have greater impact than we realize, and it's not just about us, it's about a lot of other people. Satan wants you to believe it's your life. You do whatever you want. Don't worry about anybody else. That's a lie from the enemy. Because what you do impacts a lot of other people. It really does. It impacts a lot of people. When I moved down here from Ohio, my parents, you know, considered a lot. Where to move to? Where to look? You know, all that. We had a lot of different places we were looking at. Some of you know my mom or knew her. She was really praying about it. We moved to a certain location there, and I've made lifelong friends. We still get together. That's where I met Marcia. Their decision of my parents changed my life forever. Isn't that interesting? It wasn't about them, but they were thinking about me too. And that changed my life. Now, I'd like to compare my heritage with Lot's daughter's heritage. My parents really had an idea for what they wanted from me. Lot was all about him. Imagine how different it would have been if Lot would have said, Abraham, let's stay together. Hey, Abraham, help me build an altar. Help me get close to Jehovah God like you have. That's what I want to do, Abraham. But he didn't. And his wife and his kids paid the price. Paid the price. You see, it's never just about you. Those decisions are never just about you. They affect so many others. And it's really kind of coming to us really right now, isn't it? The decisions that people are making right now with this virus. It's not just about you. It's about community. It's about other people as well. Not just about you. Dads, every decision you make, it affects your family. And you better be praying. And not just your family, it affects not just your kids, but your grandkids. Mom, it affects your husband, it affects your children, it affects the grandkids, it affects the community. Your decisions make a difference. Singles, it affects your friends, it affects your extended family, it affects so many more people than we realize because our decisions are never made in a vacuum. It always affects others. And no matter what your age is today, here's the deal. You have crossroads ahead of you all the time. You have decisions to make. And it's never too late to start making choices that honor God. Right? Never too late to start making choices to honor God. Because let me tell you, there is much more at stake than you realize. It's not just about you. But if our thinking is clouded, we're trying to make orange juice out of bananas. We need to focus upon our mind being renewed in Jesus Christ. Building the altar. Following through with the decision. So what is it today that might have a grip on you? What is it today that the Holy Spirit might be just saying, you know what? It's time to revisit that. It's kind of slid into it. And you need to break free. You can't keep dabbling there, guys. It won't happen. You got to say, you're right, Lord, and I've got to make that decision, and I've got to walk away. Whatever that might be. But let's honor him. None of us end up like Lot. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I thank you that you give us opportunity to make choices, decisions, crossroads that come across every day. And help us to realize that our choices do affect many others. And that we want to make choices that are God-honoring. That reflect our love for Jesus Christ. Reflect our love for God and for others. That we would love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And our neighbor as ourselves. So Lord, I pray right now. If there's some decisions or choices people need to make. That this would be the day that you would set us free. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.